Did you know the risk of cancer does not stop at the scene of the fire? Firefighters are constantly exposed to diesel exhaust fumes and other airborne toxins that get trapped inside the station, leading to cancer. Protect yourself with MagnaGrip. Through the combination of MagnaGrip exhaust removal systems and AirHawk air purification systems, only MagnaGrip eliminates 100% of all cancer-causing toxins within the station. Learn more at MagnaGrip.com.
In the world of firefighting and public safety, reliability is key. That's why for over two decades, first responders nationwide have trusted the Fire Store as their go-to source for essential equipment, apparel, and accessories. From top-of-the-line firefighting gear like helmets, boots, and thermal imaging cameras, the Fire Store has it all, tailored to the specific needs of our heroes on the front lines. But they don't stop there. Their extensive selection also includes EMS supplies, safety apparel like flame-resistant clothing and high-visibility gear, as well as a wide array of tools from hand tools to vehicle extrication tools, supporting public safety professionals in their duties. Partnered with industry leaders, the Fire Store's commitment to quality and excellence is unmatched, because when it comes to protecting communities, there's no room for compromise. Join the thousands of first responders who rely on the Fire Store. Visit thefirestore.com online or in-store today. The Fire Store, your reliable partner for fire and public safety equipment.
Hello there, everybody, and welcome to Fire Engineering Blog Talk Radio and another installment of the Professional Volunteer Fire Department. This is the podcast that is dedicated to our great volunteer fire service and getting all of the listeners to embrace the message that true professionalism is never defined by a paycheck, and developing and displaying and maintaining a professional image, a professional reputation, are the duty and responsibility of all firefighters, actually paid and volunteer. So thanks for joining me, Tom Merrill here, and I really appreciate you taking the time to listen in. We're going to have a quick show for you this evening, or whenever you're listening in on a recording. It's going to be a quick show, just some things to go over with you before the great FDIC conference. And where I am anyway, spring was in the air. We were all excited. The temperatures were creeping up a little bit, and it's been warming up a little bit, and then today it took a nosedive, so I'm not going to say spring is in the air, but for me, I'm very happy because if you're a listener to the podcast, you know the last time we talked, I was in a cast, and I'm so glad that the cast is off, and I'm on the road again, and boy, am I glad about that. I had some surgery back in February from all my years is running. It didn't do my body all that good. And well, it did at the time, but I guess 40 years later, 40 years of running did me in. And I had bone spurs and some ligament damage and things that had to be repaired. But anyway, this time was my right ankle. Last year was the left ankle, and I couldn't drive. And that was the worst part about it. And I was telling my wife, I think it's the longest time since I got my license at age 16 that I've gone without driving. It was about 4.5 weeks. But anyway, back on the road, back driving. Was just in Connecticut recently, met some great sisters and brothers at the Windham Center Fire Department in Windham Center, Connecticut. Just a great group of professional firefighters. We had a great conversation about building a professional brand. Was also going to be at the Pinsky Law Conference, which is at the beautiful Turning Stone Casino in Rome, New York area. I've talked about this conference in the past. It's a great conference filled with 3.5 days packed with just a lot of good information and topics of relevance, timely topics too, of such importance as what's going on in our fire service. And that's always a great event, fantastic networking opportunities. If you ever get an opportunity to attend the Pinsky Law Conference, I highly recommend it. And that's coming up for me this weekend when the podcast is there and it'll be just behind us, but always a great conference. And I'm going to hit the road several times at the end of April and the first couple weeks of May. I'll be in a few different towns and villages throughout the New York area. And bottom line is, it's just so great to be back at it, back out amongst the brothers and sisters in the fire service. And of course, sandwiched between those various presentations is the granddaddy of them all, right? FDIC, which is right around the corner coming up next week. And again, I'll be there all week, get there Sunday and leave on Saturday. And I'll be exhausted when I leave because it's such a fun week of networking and going to events and going to classes and training and catching up with everybody. And again, just as a reminder, my class will be Monday, the 15th. From 8 till noon. And if you get a chance to stop in and take it in, I'd love for you to come in and talk about building the professional culture back home in your department via my 4-hour pre-conference workshop. But I know there's a lot of other great classes to choose from, and it's not easy to pick. But if you're looking for classes still, I know I have openings, and I'd love for you to pop in and spend some time with me. And FDIC is just going to be a jammed week. We'll be doing podcasts from FDIC, and for the first time this year, I'll be at the book booth, which I think is so cool. Hopefully you stop by, get a copy of my book that's out, The Professional Volunteer Fire Department. If not, just stop by and talk to me. It would be great too, but lots going on, a lot of travel, a lot of people want to talk about the fire service and the Professional Volunteer Fire Department, and I'm happy to do it. I love doing it, and I appreciate your support. So again, this is going to be a quick podcast. I have a few items that I want to discuss with you, but I'm also busy gearing up for FDIC, putting finishing touches on my presentation and getting ready for the other presentations I have coming up. I always like to update, tweak, and modify, and I have a bunch of different presentations that I'll be doing, and I just want to do that for all of them. So I was thinking about this. You know, we're approaching my 75th podcast for fire engineering. And I thought it would be a good idea to maybe take a step back and refocus on the premise of this podcast, the premise of the show. And coincidentally, I wrote an article that was in just the March edition of Fire Engineering Magazine. I have it right here, actually, the March edition of the newly revised Fire Engineering Magazine, which is an awesome look. Easy to read, great format, clean, crisp. I love it. And I'm honored that my article appeared in this first edition of the New Look Fire Engineering Magazine. And it's an article I wrote for FDIC. Every year they ask you to write an article based on your FDIC class. And I did that for my class this year. And it happened to be picked for the March edition here. And actually, I was looking at it and I thought, you know, as I was just reviewing it again, I thought, you know, this might be a good podcast discussion. Review it a little bit. And if you're new to the show or you want a little know a little bit more about me or the show or what I stand for, this article sums it up nicely. It sums up my beliefs and is also aimed at some of the naysayers that are out there. And I mean that respectfully. Some of the people who maybe challenge me and don't believe that volunteers can be professional. So that was the topic of my article that I wrote to introduce the reader to my class idea. But it's also a great summary of what this podcast is all about, what my writing in general is all about, and my advocacy as I travel around. And I came up with a title. You'll find it in this month's edition. I want to just summarize what it's about. It's about the professional mindset. And as I like to say, definitions don't matter at all. To people who challenge me about this term professional, I like to say, you know what? Definitions don't matter. It's actions and behavior that truly matter. So let's dive into this for a second and see what exactly I might be talking about. And it's been about 10 years now that I've been talking about the Professional Volunteer Fire Department. Started as a series of articles for Fire Engineering Online, expanded into regular articles in the magazine as well. This podcast, the presentation at FDIC, and now subsequently the book that came out, The Professional Volunteer Fire Department. It's been about a 10-year journey and continuing because I'm continually updating and learning things from the great professionals out there about things that are being done in their hometown. People are constantly emailing me and calling me and just letting me know what's going on, good and bad, actually. So I'm always coming up there learning new things myself about just what great things are being done out there among these challenging times in the volunteer fire service. So it's been about 10 years now. And as I said, occasionally people do challenge my use of the word professional. They think I'm taking liberty with that term. And they believe that that word professional can only apply to someone maybe being paid to do the job, or maybe it only applies to an organization that's filled with career staff. So what I like to do when I am confronted is I like to refer to the various definitions for this word professional. And I'll point out that there are many definitions that make no mention of the word professional having to do with earning a paycheck or being one's chosen career field. I'll see a wide range of definitions. So I want to look at some of these definitions, explore what they mean, and then focus on how they apply to us as volunteers. How's that sound? We're going to do that right now. So here's some of the other definitions I've seen for the word professional. Relating to work that needs special skills and qualifications. Showing a high level of skill or training. Doing your job well. Characterized by or conforming to the technical or ethical standards of a profession. Behaving in a correct way. Oh my gosh, really? Exhibiting a courteous, conscientious, and generally business-like manner in the workplace. Being reliable, setting your own high standards, and showing that you care about every aspect of the job. Being organized and holding yourself accountable for your thoughts, your words, and your actions. I think those definitions would apply to firefighters everywhere, paid and volunteer, right? But because I've been targeted and sometimes confronted by some trolls and others who challenge me, I want to be fair and I want to point out that yes, there are definitions, and I'd be foolish to think that they didn't exist. There are definitions that do define a professional as someone being paid to do the job. I will acknowledge that. But along with that definition are all these other definitions. So what I like to say to my volunteer friends and when I'm out in the volunteer fire service world is let's concentrate on these other definitions that apply to us. Let's concentrate on those parts of the definition that there's no doubt can apply to volunteers. And let's focus on that. Remember, it's how we act, behave, perform, and treat people that truly matter. Definitions don't. And definitions don't matter to the person needing help, right? I know it sounds cliche, but you know what? I work at the 911 center. I think you know that. At the fire alarm office, and no one has ever called 912 or called us and said, switch me over to the paid side or the volunteer side. We're it, and we have a duty and responsibility to behave and perform and respond in a professional manner. Because when all is said and done, our citizens, the people who need us, the people who called us, for our help, are simply going to remember that in their time of need, kind, competent, caring firefighters showed up to take care of their problems. And when they interact with a group of firefighters, when those firefighters maybe are just out in the public, off duty or on duty, but they're out in the public mingling, off duty wearing the Maltese cross, on duty maybe at a store buying supplies, food for the firehouse, whatever it is, people are going to remember how they were treated and how the firefighters conducted themselves. And all of these choices are under your own personal control. So remember, being considered professional is up to all of us, paid or volunteer. And it need not matter how big your department is or how small, how poorly financed or well financed, how many runs you go on, how many members you have. None of that matters. Professional firefighters can be found in professional departments of all ranks. Of all sizes, all makeups. It doesn't matter. They can be in rural communities, urban communities, bedroom communities. It's just no doubt. And let's be honest. As much as I say volunteer fire departments can be professional, there are probably, and I think you'd agree, some paid departments that are not professional at all. Let's work on what parts of the definition apply to us and worry about that. So let's look at some of these definitions just a little bit more closely to see if I'm off my rocker or not. So the first definition is being paid to do the job. I'll acknowledge that. Okay, fine, fair. So a professional can be somebody paid to do the job. Let's look at another definition. Relating to work that needs special skills and qualifications. I would say the work is similar between paid and volunteer in the work of any firefighter. Applies here, right? Relating to work that needs special skills and qualifications. There's no difference delineating the best way to handle the range of incidents firefighters are called to handle. handling any type of call, EMS, fire, rescue, definitely going to require some special skills, is it not? And certainly firefighters need to be certified to do much of the work required of them. So as it says here, relating to work that needs special skills and qualifications. So we need to meet those qualifications. So, you know, it's safe to say that firefighters everywhere spend a substantial amount of time in their academies, in their local training classes, and within their firehouse, getting the training and certifications that they are required to be successful at their job. And citizens simply expect the firefighters protecting them to do what the definition says, to be skilled, to be proficient, and qualified to handle whatever emergency it is that they're calling for, to have those skills and qualifications that are required. I think that applies to us as volunteers, and I think you'd agree. How about this definition? Showing a high level of skill and training. Now, there's no question that the work of a firefighter requires special skills, and those skills need to be worked on continuously so we can maintain our proficiency, correct? When a citizen is confronted with a situation that they call the fire department, that they need to call the fire department for, they simply say, hey, I need help, send help. And again, there's no 912, so they're just hoping somebody shows up that can take care of their problem. But no matter the reason, callers expect those responding firefighters that they have received the proper training and they are skillful at mitigating the situation that they're confronted with. And there's no faking it. They can't walk into the firehouse filled with millions of dollars worth of equipment and all these beautiful rigs and pretend to be ready. They need to actually be ready. And the way to be ready is to train and to go through academies and get a professional training program, which helps you be a more professional firefighter. When a job is handled successfully, it means the firefighters have showcased that high level of skill and training that they have undertaken preceding that incident. And that applies to paid and volunteer firefighters, showing a high level of skill and training. About this definition, doing your job well. Now that doesn't apply to volunteers, does it? Of course it does. A good training program will help you do your job well. A good training program supported by firefighters regularly attending and participating will certainly help everybody do their job better. Competently handling the customer's call for help applies across the board here, paid and volunteer. Regardless of the reason, again, these people that are calling for our help expect us to do our job well. And it must be recognized that the ultimate credential for a professional fire department is performance on the fire ground or at the emergency scene. And a quality performance will come from quality training. And when done properly, the citizens are going to say, job well done, equaling another part of that definition, doing your job well. Another definition as I go through the long list of professional definitions, characterized by or conforming to the technical or ethical standards of a profession. Now, the technical standards we talked about a little bit earlier with understanding all the aspects of our job and training to be skilled and proficient. The ethical standards, however, apply to firefighters embracing those long established values embraced by the fire service, those long established creeds of trust, of pride, of honor and integrity and empathy and compassion. It's no secret that for the most part, the fire service enjoys a very favorable reputations within our community, consistently ranked as one of the most trusted organizations in the world. And that trust has been earned over the generations by those who served before, by firefighters exhibiting ethical behavior while delivering selfless service, both on the career side and on the volunteer side. And behaving in a correct way goes right along with that. There's no standard that says paid firefighters have to behave in the correct way. There's no standard that said, no, it only applies to volunteer firefighters. No, it applies to firefighters everywhere. And this is these are all easy, but this one is really easy. But we know it's lacking today, right? Polite behavior and what I like to call proper social fitness decorum, it's really lacking in society today. People do seem to be more socially awkward than ever before. Many lack the skills or even the desire to carry on a civil, informal conversation with others in their company, whether they know them or not. And it's been said, and I've said it many times, we are definitely living in a more hostile, angry, judgmental world. And if you watch the news, it certainly verifies that. But here's the deal. I believe a professional firefighter representing a professional organization can be the exception to this trend. Now, firefighters are regularly provided with opportunities to show the world that there's still good people in it. These softer opportunities, as I like to call them, exist every day. The hardcore opportunities that where you put your skills to work might not occur that often. That house fire, maybe you get a few a year. That serious wreck where you put your medical skills to work might only occur here and there. But the softer skills, the ability to talk to people and get along with people, happen pretty much every day. On duty and off, too. If you're a volunteer firefighter, chances are people in your community know you're a volunteer firefighter. You've probably worn shirts and got the sticker on your car. How are you behaving? How are you talking to them? How are you acting? And this gets me into something I've talked about time and time again before, and that's internet use. How are we behaving on the internet? Professionals don't troll each other, or even as hard as it may be, members of the public. If something's going on in your town that you don't agree with, be professional in how you address it. To actually attack other people and belittle them and make fun of them or their point of view, whether it's about a fire topic or something else going on in your community, really doesn't uphold the image that a professional firefighter should uphold. People know you're a firefighter. And if you do things like that to belittle or make fun of or become angry and hostile with people via the internet, you're representing not just yourself, obviously, and your department, but the fire service as a whole. And I really think that well-mannered behavior coupled with genuine kindness and true compassion and genuine empathy for people's issues are universal traits that convey true professionalism. And all firefighters should strive to deliver on that, on duty and off. And like I said, these opportunities to do this and exhibit good behavior exist every single day. And if you're a firefighter, you better accept the fact that you are going to be dealing with people who are having bad days and they're not going to be kind and they're not going to be in the best mood. And you're also going to be dealing with irrational people from time to time. And we accept that when we take the oath or sign that application. And I believe you take it a step further, even off duty, when things are posted or happening in your community that you don't agree with. There are professional ways to address matters, and there are unprofessional ways. And I believe that if you're a firefighter, you represent your department 24/7. And that includes how you choose to address people on social media or address issues. Continue on with the workplace. One of the definitions says that you exhibit a courteous, conscientious, and generally business-like manner in the workplace. Now, a professional organization, a professional volunteer fire department, needs to set good boundaries and establish understood organizational behavior. And what I mean by that is there's no tolerance for bullying, harassment, sexism, discrimination, any other ism you might want to think about. We need to teach our members that there's no room for bigotry or biases or prejudices, and personal biases can never interfere with the mission of a professional firefighter. And that includes how we treat our fellow members as well. So exhibiting a courteous and conscientious and businesslike manner in the workplace, there's a definition that definitely applies to volunteers as well as paid firefighters. And if you're a volunteer, strive to uphold that definition. Being reliable. Setting your own high standards and showing that you care about every aspect of your job. Being organized and holding yourself accountable for your thoughts, words, and actions. You've probably heard people aren't accountable for their actions today. It's always somebody else's fault. We're quick to blame others. Don't let that spill over into the volunteer fire service world, folks. These definitions, simply put, they expound on the ownership mentality. And that should apply to firefighters who consider themselves professional, career, or volunteer. Ownership is a subject that is so talked about, but seldom practiced. Great books out there on ownership, some involving the fire service, like Pride in Ownership by the great Rick Lasky, and Jocko Willick, the Navy SEAL, who talks about ownership in his fantastic book. Ownership is an attitude that all firefighters of all ranks and all tenures and from all department types can and should embrace. They need to take, we, us professional firefighters, need to take ownership of our fire service, our home fire department, our firehouses, and even ourselves. Ownership of the fire service means that we understand and we recognize this reputation the fire service enjoys, and that we will work hard to never bring dishonor to the fire service or our home department. And we're going to uphold those values on pride, honor, trust, integrity, and compassion. We set high standards for ourselves to be trained and competent and do whatever it is that's expected of us down at the firehouse. Yes, we need to train and be committed to be as prepared as possible. And maybe we need to make a commitment to be better physically fit, take ownership of our own physical fitness, whatever it is. How about ownership in the jobs expected of us, right? It also applies big time in the officer ranks. Jocko Willick's book says it so well. And if you don't have his book, it's called Extreme Ownership, a phenomenal book. It talks about how officers offer no excuses. They exercise ownership in everything that's under their control. And it might be hard for some to embrace this, but as he points out in the book, there's no bad units. There's only bad officers. Ownership is so important. And with proper ownership, the organizational leaders own everything in their world. There's no one else to blame when things go wrong. And as they describe it in the book, as it's described in the book, any team in any organization, all responsibility for success and failure relies with the leaders. Leaders must own everything in their world. They must acknowledge their mistakes. They must admit their failures. They must take ownership of those failures and develop a plan to overcome them. Can we do that as volunteers? We absolutely can. So fire service leaders and officers need to take ownership of their duties and responsibilities. Hey, if you're designated to be in charge of something, be in charge of it. If you're supposed to take care of a rig, take care of that rig. If the tools are dirty, rusty, not cleaned, missing, it's on you. And some jobs are more glamorous than others. My job as a fire commissioner is fixed assets. I got to keep track of all the inventory coming and going. Pretty boring, pretty time consuming, pretty monotonous, but I got to do it on a regular basis, not just when I feel like it. Maybe your job's SCBA inspections. Maybe it's logging the hose test records. How about the administrative side that we never talk about? Are you the secretary? Do you fall behind in the meeting minutes? Do you respond to people's inquiries and correspond with people seeking information correctly, adequately, timely? Are you the treasurer? Gosh, I hope you're paying the bills on time, right? The list goes on and on and on, and it all circles back to ownership. ownership of anything you're responsible for. As a firefighter, training, being physically fit, taking care of never hurting your organization. And as an officer, both sides of the aisle, what is it you are responsible for? And heck, even as a firefighter, you might be in charge of bingo, might be in charge of fundraising. You take ownership for it. You make sure it gets done. And if something goes wrong, it's your fault. Fire department told me they had a house fire a few weeks back. Came back, and a week after that house fire, an officer went over to the rig. It wasn't his rig, but he opened the door. The SCBAs were dirty. They were changed out, but they were still dirty and filthy. Nothing had been cleaned properly. Tools were caked with drywall dust, and it could go on and on. That officer blamed somebody else. Who do you blame? Ownership. And sometimes that requires we got to look in the mirror. Am I doing the job? I'm in charge of our fire department installation, which is coming up in another week. I have two other people helping me, but we're all taking ownership of our part of the plan, our part of the planning process. And if I fail, it's on me. I'm in charge of recording the RSVP cards and compiling the count and getting the meal choices to the vendor. Now, I take ownership of that. But I'm sure you can think of examples in any organization you've been involved in where people haven't taken ownership. Ownership is huge. I think we might do another show on ownership someday because I think ownership, the ownership mantra, is a key part of being a professional volunteer. And consistency in ownership is another huge part. You know, we might start off doing the job well. We're young and we're energetic, or we just are a new officer, so we're excited to do the SCBA test once a month or the rig check once a month or once a week, whatever it is. But over time, it becomes monotonous. It's the same thing. You take shortcuts, and 1 month comes 2 months, becomes every third month, becomes when I feel like it. And before you know it, you have a fire and you're missing equipment or equipment is not ready. Ownership. Folks, these are just a few of the definitions for the word professional. And while I'll admit the first one I mentioned did talk about the paycheck and getting paid to do the job, I think you'll agree that all these other definitions certainly can apply to any professional firefighter. Relating to work that needs special skills and qualifications, showing a high level of skill and training, doing your job well, characterized by or conforming to the technical and ethical standards of a profession, behaving in a correct way, exhibiting a courteous, conscientious, and generally business-like manner in the workplace, being reliable, showcasing you care about every aspect of your job, holding yourself accountable for your thoughts, words, and actions, all definitions that apply to us as volunteers, all definitions that I ask us to hold ourselves accountable to take ownership of in our volunteer fire service career. Let's hold ourselves to those parts of the definitions that apply to us and not worry about this paid versus volunteer when it comes to the term professional. But you know what? Definitions shouldn't concern you anyway. It's how you act. It's how you perform. It's how you train. It's how you respect others. That's what you should concern yourself with. And collectively, I say this to firefighters everywhere, paid and volunteer, collectively as a professional group of firefighters, let's concentrate on all these parts of the definition that we have direct personal control over. And let's each offer professional service and work hard to be a true professional member in our organization. Is that too much to ask? That's what my article was about. That's what I wanted to share with you on this podcast because I think it's so important. And this is what I'll be talking about and have talked about for 10 years now. And I'll be expanding on it in the Professional Volunteer Fire Department presentation that I do at FDIC. And I just think it's so important that every now and then we take a step back because every now and then in our boardrooms or in the club room, in the politics of the day at our firehouse, that bylaw vote you didn't get through really has you mad, or somebody didn't do something that you like. And we can get so distracted. But this, those definitions really matter. And that's what we should concern ourselves with. And that's my message to you today on this podcast. And as I finish today, I just wanted to share a story with you that I observed this past weekend. A story that defines professionalism in every sense of the word. More importantly, it defines honor. It defines respect. It defines true brotherhood and sisterhood. It's a story that can showcase and exemplify what it means to be part of our wonderful, iconic fire service. It's a story that makes it no wonder why people look up and admire the fire service. And it's a story that was brought about due to sad and unfortunate circumstances. But out of it, a department's true colors really shined through. As I mentioned at the beginning of the podcast, I was recently at the Wyndham Center, Connecticut Fire Department doing a presentation. There's an assistant chief there named Mark Herrick who invited me in to talk to the members there and from some surrounding departments. I met incredible people, but Chief Herrick was warm and accommodating, and we spent several months planning my trip to Wyndham Center. Wanted to go in January. The timing didn't work out. We were worried about the weather. Then we wanted to do February, but then I had my ankle surgery, so I couldn't drive or travel. So that made it impossible. So we settled on March 23rd, a couple of weeks ago. And that was a go, all set to go. Well, a couple months ago, I had to call Mark, Assistant Chief Herrick, and sheepishly explain that if possible, I'd like to pick another date because I was invited to a wedding on March 23rd, and it was important to me to try and go to the wedding because it was for a young man I watched grow up, literally. His family lived across the street at a previous house I lived in, but his father was one of my best friends, is still one of my best friends today, and is the one that got me to join at the age of 19 because he was a member, and we're both still members today. And I watched his son grow up, and now he's getting married, and I want to go to the wedding. On a side note, his son is also in the Snyder Fire Department with me and his father, and he's also a Buffalo firefighter. And he was with firefighter Jason Arno from Buffalo, New York, who was killed in the line of duty just over a year ago. He was on his crew. It just meant the world to me to go to this young man's wedding for many, many reasons. So Chief Herrick was very understanding, very accommodating. So we moved my presentation to the following Saturday, March 30th. And just a few days before, as we were planning everything and the chief was telling me how much he was looking forward to me coming into his department and meeting me and sitting through the presentation, just a couple of days before the presentation, the chief had to get a hold of me to say he would be there to meet me to make sure things were set up for that morning's presentation on that Saturday, but then he would have to leave. His father, 94 years old, former chief of department in South Wyndham, had just been diagnosed with a terrible form of cancer, and the family was going to come in, and they were getting together to have a family honor gathering for their father. And that's where he would be going off to. And I met the chief, Assistant Chief Herrick. I met his wife. They sat through the beginning of my presentation, and sure enough, after a short time, he had to step out and go to this gathering for his father. After my presentation, we're making small talk with people. I'm closing up things and just saying goodbye to everybody. And I heard the rig starting up. And I asked the chief who was there at the time. I said, "Chief, where are the rigs going? Are you going to a run or are you fueling up? What's going on?" He said, "No, they're going on a little detail. The firefighters took the fire trucks to the family gathering where Assistant Chief Herrick was with his family and his father, former chief of department, who was fighting this illness. and they did a drive-by, a little bit of a parade. And they stood, got out of the rigs, and stood in attention and paid their respects to retired Chief Richard Herrick. It was a moving display of affection, respect, of gratitude. I saw some pictures of it online, and I stood there watching these trucks pull out and was just amazed. Folks, that's what it's about, right? I mean, that's the true brotherhood and sisterhood. That's such an easy little thing that they did. And yet, many departments struggle to do those little easy things, don't they? But if you do it, those little things done right can really bring a department together and can solidify department relationships and break down the walls of cliques. So as I sign off tonight, I'd like to just say job well done, Windham Center Fire Department, South Windham Fire Department, and the North Windham Fire Department. Freaking awesome. Kudos to you. A total class act. Brotherhood and sisterhood at its absolute finest. An act that cost nothing in terms of monetary expense and showcased everything. And retired Chief Richard Herrick, Godspeed, sir. What an amazing tribute to you. It certainly showed just what respect and love those firefighters have for you. And we are thinking of you and the entire Herrick family at this time. Great group of professional volunteer firefighters serving in professional volunteer fire departments. Well done. Folks, that's all I got for you tonight. My next show will be live from FDIC, and then in May, we'll be on again with another great guest and another great topic. If you'd like to reach out to me at any time, remember my email. I answer all emails, tamerrill63@aol.com. Please check out Professional Volunteer Fire Department Facebook page. My website's up to date with where I'm going to be and traveling to if you'd like to stop by and meet me. If you need any information on getting my book, feel free to reach out to me or go on fireengineeringbooksandvideos.com. You can get it there. Hope I see you at FDIC. Even if you can't make it to my class, please feel free to stop by or reach out to me, I should say. And love to meet up with you. But thanks for tuning in, folks. And remember, true professionalism is never defined by a paycheck. And your residents are owed professional service delivered by professional firefighters representing a professional organization. Live up to those definitions. Take care, folks.
Did you know the risk of cancer does not stop at the scene of the fire? Firefighters are constantly exposed to diesel exhaust fumes and other airborne toxins that get trapped inside the station, leading to cancer. Protect yourself with MagnaGrip. Through the combination of MagnaGrip exhaust removal systems and AirHawk air purification systems, only MagnaGrip eliminates 100% of all cancer-causing toxins within the station. Learn more at MagnaGrip.com.
In the world of firefighting and public safety, reliability is key. That's why for over two decades, first responders nationwide have trusted the Fire Store as their go-to source for essential equipment, apparel, and accessories. From top-of-the-line firefighting gear like helmets, boots, and thermal imaging cameras, the Fire Store has it all, tailored to the specific needs of our heroes on the front lines. But they don't stop there. Their extensive selection also includes EMS supplies, safety apparel like flame-resistant clothing and high-visibility gear, as well as a wide array of tools from hand tools to vehicle extrication tools, supporting public safety professionals in their duties. Partnered with industry leaders, the Fire Store's commitment to quality and excellence is unmatched because when it comes to protecting communities, there's no room for compromise. Join the thousands of first responders who rely on the Fire Store. Visit thefirestore.com online or in-store today. The Fire Store, your reliable partner for fire and public safety equipment.